March 2011. How many of y'all excited about that? Right? Well, a few people. One raises his hand. Thank you for that. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the assistant pastor here, and I'm really excited to get another opportunity just to hang out with you guys today and just to share with you all, especially the fact that it's the first Sunday of the new year, and it's the first Sunday of our new service time, so hopefully you remembered that and didn't show up at 10:35 and actually came at 11. So, but today we're going to talk about some few things about the new year and things that we want to accomplish and where we want to go in 2011. And, you know, 2010 was an amazing year for us here at Life Point Church. I mean, we saw a lot of great things happen. We saw new faces come through our door. People were having new babies. My family had one ourselves, so people have gotten pregnant, and we have people that have recommitted their lives to Christ, people that have given their lives to Christ for the very first time. We've had new classes we've started. We've just done a lot of amazing things. It's been a beautiful year here at Life Point Church. But from conversations I've had with different people throughout the year, I also know that 2010 was an extremely difficult year for some of us as well. And how many of you would say, by raising your hand, you know, 2010 had some good times, but it's history, it's in the past, and I'm pretty stoked about that. How many of y'all would say that? Yeah, there's a lot of people that would say that. So, well, Life Point's prayer for you and our hopes is that you all will be extremely, extremely blessed in this new year, and that 2011 will be your best year to date. So, but we're going to not waste any more time. We're going to hop right into God's Word. So, if you've seen me speak before, you know I like to have a little seat and relax. So, I'm going to chill here on my nice stool I have. And we're going to go ahead and jump in Isaiah 43. And when we look at this, God is speaking directly to the people of Israel. And if you read the whole chapter, which I'm not going to do, but if you read the whole chapter, he goes through a list of powerful promises that he goes through. And I believe that one of the promises we're going to look at today is one that he's going to be speaking truth to us through in 2011. So Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." Some of you today, God is going to speak directly to you about letting go of something that's been holding you back. It says, forget the former things and stop dwelling on the past. Because as we go on in verse 19, it says, "See, I am doing a new thing." Can everybody say that with me? A new, very good, very good. "And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands." God may speak directly to you today that he wants to do a new thing in your life in a new year. Some of you may be facing some challenges and things that you look at yourself and you're just like, "I just don't know how we're going to make it through. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I just don't see a way out." And God is saying through this, "No, I see a way where no one sees a way. I'm going to do a new thing in your life if you will just listen and if you can perceive it." How many of you, and don't be shy, how many of you have made a New Year's resolution this year? No one will judge you. Go ahead and raise your hand. It's all right. Right, a lot of us do. Well, for those, raise your hands again. I'm going to say it one more time. All right, well, I've got bad news for you, okay? Studies show that by the end of January, about 40% of you all will be off the bandwagon. You'll be done and out. Hopefully you didn't sign a real long contract with that gym membership you got, because if so, you're stuck paying the money and it's not benefiting you whatsoever. And by Valentine's Day, about 65 to 70% of you will only even be keeping track of your New Year's resolutions anymore. Why is that? I mean, I'm sure we have some really good intentions, but truly we all know what they say about good intentions, right? I mean, these are typically good things that we want to accomplish. But this year, I want to challenge you to go beyond just having some good intentions, something that you want to do, but instead to have what we may call God intentions, to listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks to you today and shows you just one thing that he wants for you and from you and that he wants to do in your life in 2011, however you want to say it. I say 2011, so if you say it the other way, I'm going to apologize because I'm going to say it the whole time. So instead of just having these intentions, these good intentions that are me-centered, let's work on and let's think about having some God intentions that are God-centered. Because when God births something in you, when he ignites something in you, it's going to come to pass. So he says, see, I am doing a new thing. So I'm going to ask you guys four one thing questions. And my hope and my prayer is that from these four one thing questions, that God will ignite just one thing that will be different in your life this coming year. And, you know, it's a new year. And with New Year's resolutions, we have the tendency to kind of look at our entire life and we see all these multiple things that we want to change, the things that we want to accomplish. So we have more than one resolution. But with this, I want us to focus just on the one thing that God speaks to you today. There's going to be four questions, but just focus on the one thing where God speaks to you, the thing that he would have be different in your life. And you may say, you know, well, what's the big deal about just one thing? Well, the reality is that over a period of time, you know, over a period of 5 years, and you have five one things, that's a big deal. And especially over a decade, when you have 10 new one things that you've focused on each year and that you've accomplished and that you're doing well with, your life can be transformed drastically. One thing. So we're going to dive into these four questions, and we're going to look at different passages in the Scripture that have the word one thing in it. So the first one thing question is this. In your prayer life in 2011, what one thing do you desire from God? Above everything else, if God said to you, I will give you one thing or I will do one thing, what will be the driving force of your prayer life before God this year? In Psalm, we see that David asked God for many different things, but he was described as a man after God's own heart. And maybe this is because if he desired one thing, this is what he desired. In Psalms 27:4, he says this, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. If I could have one thing, he says, it would be to be in the presence of God. It's to be with God. He said, I need his goodness, and I need to know that he's always with me. If there's one thing I need in the good times, it's God. And if there's one thing I need in the bad times, it's God. If there's one thing that I desire above everything else, David says, it's to be in the presence of God. What about you? What one thing do you desire from God? Some of you may be in a place where you may say, you know, I have someone that's really close to me, but they've not yet accepted Christ as their Savior, and they're not a believer. And if there's one thing that I desire from God this year, it would be for God to use me in this person's life to help bring them into a relationship with him. Some of you, if you're honest, you may say, you know, I have some stronghold or some addiction that is just keeping me from going further with God. And if I could have just one thing this year, it would be that God would remove that thing so that I could fully focus on him and go and pursue him the way that he would have me. Some of you may look at your marriage and say, you know, it's really not what God wants it to be. It's not what God's intended it to be. And if there's one thing that I need and that I desire, it would be that God would heal my marriage. Now, I know your temptation is going to be, you know, well, that your one thing would be that, well, hopefully God will fix my spouse because they're driving me crazy. And that could be your temptation, but don't go there, because really, in reality, probably what's going on is that God's going to want to change your heart so that he can in turn heal and begin to fix your marriage. What one thing? Some of you have been promising for a long time that you're going to slow down. And you stay so busy, and you've been saying, I'm going to slow down. And years and years and years have gone by, and you've never stopped. And you're missing out on your family, and you're missing out on your friends, you're missing out on your kids. And the one thing that you may say is that I need God, I need you just to help me to stop and just to enjoy you. To enjoy you and your presence, and to enjoy the presence of those around me. You know, some of you may not be married or be in a dating or romantic relationship, but you look around and all your friends are, and it's you know, and it kind of ticks you off, and you're like, you know, I love my friends, but every time I see them with them, I hate them. It's not fair. And it's just frustrating to you, and you just really desire to be with somebody. And for you, the one thing this year could be that, you know, you say, God, you know what? I need you to be enough. I need to be satisfied with just you this year. What one thing do you need from God? What one thing do you desire from God? The second question, one thing question is this. When it comes to your relationship with Christ, what one thing do you lack? What one thing is missing? In Mark chapter 10, we see an interesting story of a rich man who encounters Jesus. And he asks Jesus, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers, well, you need to obey my commands. And he said very proudly, he's like, check, got that. That's good, got that in the bag. And then God looked through his outward obedience and then looked at his heart. And he saw something that was in this guy that was a problem, that this guy didn't even know it was an issue. And Jesus said something to him that he didn't say to anyone else. In Mark 10, 21 and 22, it says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Notice he's about to say something extremely, extremely difficult, but he says it in love. And he said, one thing you lack. Not two things, not 10 things, not 15 things, but one thing you lack. He said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. One thing. There was one thing that was standing in the way of completely following Jesus. And for this guy, it was the material possession. And Jesus said to go sell it so that you can fully follow me. Verse 22 says, at this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Check this out. God specifically shows him one thing that he lacked. Specific. One thing that he lacked, and he was unwilling to obey. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there's probably some of you all here today that God has been giving you one thing that you lack, one thing that you need for years now, and you've just not yet obeyed, and you've just pushed it aside. And I would venture to guess that because I know personally myself, I've been there, and I've done that. But you see, he's doing a new thing. This is a new year, and it's a new opportunity to obey. What one thing do you lack? What is it? You know, a couple months back, I was having a conversation with one of my good friends, and he was reminiscing on a time when he was in college, and he was part of a small group, and he was just talking about how amazing it was to have that personal connection and that personal accountability with other believers, and how through that it strengthened his relationship with Christ. But now that he's out of college and he doesn't have that, he just felt like something was missing. It was missing. There's this one thing. It's the one thing that if he would go back to and that he could get to be a part of, that would radically change his life and take it back to where it once was. That was this one thing. Maybe you're in a similar situation. You've become the LifePoint Church for a while, but you really and truly haven't connected with other believers. And you've not yet joined a small group, or you have a group of people that you're praying with, or that they're praying for you, or that they're holding you accountable. And you're holding back, and you're avoiding it, and you're pushing back. But maybe that's your one thing that you're lacking. Maybe that's the one thing that you need today. Maybe you've been struggling or wrestling with the whole tithe thing. And you give to God when it's convenient to you, or maybe you just don't give at all, and you fight with it, and you fight, and you're just simply not trusting God with your cash. You're being, as we talk about here a lot, you're being an owner as opposed to a manager of what God has given you. Maybe that's the one thing where God looks at you and he says, you know, are you going to believe me or not? Are you going to trust me or are you not? Maybe you just really need someone to help hold you accountable. You need an accountability partner. You just keep drifting into sin. You keep screwing up, and you go back to the same mess, and you drift away from the people that you love. And you drift away from church, and drift away from God, and you just need that person that's going to just speak honest truth into your life. That's going to be there and tell you when you're screwing up, and they're going to be there and celebrate when you're on track. It's accountability, and maybe that's the one thing that you're lacking and that you need in 2011. When it comes to your relationship with God, what one thing do you lack? What one thing is going to help you to move forward with God? What do you desire from God? could give you one thing, what would you ask? And what one thing do you lack? And the third question is this. What one thing do you need to let go? I think this is one of the most difficult pieces, but what one thing do you need to let go? What one thing continues to grip you and hold you back from being where God wants you to be? You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, he was talking about how he wanted to know Christ. Not just know about him, but he wanted to know Christ, truly know him. And he says this in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. It says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul says, this one thing I'm going to do, and it's basically one fluid motion. He's going to forget what's behind, he's going to strain towards what's ahead, and he's going to keep pressing on. You know, and we don't necessarily know exactly what it was that he was wanting to let go of, but we have a pretty good idea of what some of the things could be. I mean, he was the guy that personally ordered the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Maybe he was saying, you know what, I got to let go of that. You know, he was the guy that persecuted the early church. It could have been the pain that he experienced from suffering for Christ. I mean, there was five times that he was whipped, each time with 40 lashes. Maybe he needed to let go of that to move forward. He was beaten on three different occasions with rods. This was the guy that was shipwrecked three different times. This is the guy that was stoned. And I'm not talking recreationally, okay? He was stoned to death, or he was stoned and left for dead. And perhaps you're saying, he was just saying, I have to let go of all this. I have to let go. I can't keep holding on to this. I have to let go in order to move forward with God. There's something that's the reason that you're not moving forward. There's something that you're holding on to that you just won't let go. And you're gripping it, and you're holding on to it, and you've just got unforgiveness in your heart, and you've got bitterness, and you're holding on to it for dear life, and you won't let it go. But God is saying, you know what? I want to do a new thing, but you can't dwell in the past. You have to let it go. Now, I know I'm still pretty young, even though this past Friday I turned a year older. But one of the things I believe is one of the biggest problems in marriage today is that people will not let go of the past. You know, someone said something, they did something, they lied to you, they're unfaithful, they just hurt you. And so you continue to punish them daily with the past. And you won't let it go. Some of you have failed at something and you're holding on to that and you're internalizing that and you're wrongly believing that you yourself are a failure because of it. But that's not true. That's something that happened. That's not who you are. And you have to let go and you have to stop living in the pain of the past. Some of you have messed up and you've let yourself down or you've done something that you regret and you think, you know what, I know God is going to hold this against me. That's one of my biggest struggles from the past that just gripped me and I couldn't let go of that. But that is the furthest thing from the truth. God does not function that way. Trust me when I say that God does not function that way. You have to let go of the pain from the past in order to move forward. Strain for what's in front of you and press on. Let it go. Whatever it is, big or small, let it go. It's a new day, and God is doing a new thing. What's the one thing that you need to let go in order for you to become all that God has created you to be? The fourth and final question that I have tonight, or this morning, is this. What one promise do you need to claim? What one promise from God do you need to claim? In the Old Testament, David was a young man when he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king over Israel. And Samuel basically came over and looked at Jesse's sons, and he was like, well, he's handsome, but he's not the one. And he's talented, but he's not the one. this guy's strong, but no, he's not the one. And he went down the line, and he looked at Jesse, and he was like, is there anyone else? And Jesse answered, well, there's a run outside taking care of the sheep outside, but I don't think he's the guy you're looking for. And that little runt, David, came in, and God said, I don't look at what people look at. I look at what's inside. I look at the heart. There's your next king. And there was a promise that God gave to David. Many of you have had a promise from God, and you believe that God has shown you something of your future, and that's something that you're going to accomplish, and you believe it's from God, but it's just not coming about. It's just not taking place, and you're like, God, where are you? I just don't understand. And this is exactly what happened to David. You know, as soon as he was anointed to be the next king of Israel, it seemed like every time he took a step forward, there was always two steps back. You know, every time he had a victory, then here comes Saul, you know, coming after him, trying to run him down and destroy him. He would move forward and backwards, and forward and backwards, and forward and backwards. And the whole time, he could have been thinking, you know, I just don't see it. God, I know what you said was going to happen, but I just can't see it. And there was one particular time when he was running from Saul, who's the current king, and Saul was trying to out to get him, was trying to kill him, and he decided to run and hide amongst the Philistines. And when he got there, he thought that was a great idea, and then when he got there, he realized it was a really stupid idea. So then he had another stupid idea, and he started trying to act like a crazy wild man to try to see if that could get him out of it. And he found himself stuck between a rock and a hard place, and he just didn't see anything going the way that it was supposed to go. The way that he thought it was going to go. And as he broke down, he basically said this. He said, there are so many things that I don't know right now. There are so many questions that I don't have the answers to. And there are so many details that are not going the way I wish they would. And he continues in Psalms 56, 9 and 11. He says this, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, this one thing I know, that God is for me. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? There's one thing I know, he said, that God, my God, is for me. The enemy's coming after me. I don't know what to do. There's always three steps back, and I'm scared to death, and I don't know what's going on, and nothing's happening the way it's supposed to. But this one thing I know, God is for me. And I'm trusting in his promises. And because of that one promise is true, even if I don't see anything else that I want to see, that one promise is enough. This one thing I know that God is for me. And if God is for me, then who in the world can be against me? Now, some of you, God is going to give you a promise, and you're going to cling and hold on to that promise for dear life. And it's going to carry you when times get tough. It's going to carry you when you're scared, when you're confused, when you're too weak to continue on your own. What one promise do you need to claim? Now, over the past year, this is something that has really impacted and changed me, and I've experienced so much growth because of this, claiming these promises. Is, you know, when I came into LifePoint as the youth pastor, and then I stepped out of that role into the role that I'm currently in now, that was a huge step for me. I was stepping out on faith. It was out of my comfort zone, and it was a huge step and leap of faith. And as I did that, to be honest, I felt completely weak and inadequate. You know, I was just telling myself that I wasn't good enough, and I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't capable of doing this, and I didn't have what it took. And I didn't know what in the world to do next. I was just weak and inadequate. That's how I felt. And then God stepped in with this one promise that I continue to hold on to for dear life even today. And it's one promise. It's in your weakness, in your inadequacy, in the things that you cannot do on your own, God said, my strength will be made perfect. Where I am weak, God says, I am strong. In my personal weakness, in Andy's weaknesses, that's where God's strength is made perfect. What one promise do you need to claim today? There's so many promises throughout God's Word that He gives us. And so I'm going to share a few of them. I'm going to run through some of those today that with the hope and the prayer that one of these promises may just resonate with you, and it may just leap out to you as one that you need to claim this year in 2011. One promise that's going to take you to the next level in your relationship with Christ. So what does God promise? Well, God promises in His Word to meet every need that you have from His glorious riches. If you're hurting financially and you're afraid, God promises that He will meet every need that you have. God promises that you will not be tempted beyond what you can handle. And those of you that continue to fall back in the same old mess and you do the same old thing, there's a way out. There's a power through Christ that will help you overcome any temptation that comes your way. There's a way out. God promises to forgive all of your sins and all of your flaws. And if you're hurting today from the guilt or the weight of the past, know this, that if you just confess it, it's forgiven. He says that He'll throw it and cast it into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. You are forgiven. God promises to make everything, even the bad things, work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. He promises that if you feel alone or if you feel abandoned, that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you forever. He promises to be your help in times of trouble. He promises to give strength to the weary. He is our strength. He promises to guide you and to give you direction. You know, many of us kind of confused on what the next step in life is. We don't know which way to go and what step is the right step. And God says that I will guide you. He says He's the good shepherd and we are the sheep. And He will lead us, and all we have to do is follow. He promises to give us a peace that goes beyond all understanding, goes beyond our ability to understand. You know, you may be facing something extremely, extremely difficult, and people will kind of look at you and they're like, how in the world are you staying composed? How in the world are you keeping your head on your shoulders? And really the only answer you can have is, I don't know, but God promised peace, and He's making good on His word. God promises to give power to defeat and overcome the evil one. He says that if you resist Him, He will flee from you. God promises that nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate you from His love. And for those of you today that don't truly know Christ, that you've never stepped across that line of faith and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, God gives you the beautiful promise of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. There are so many things that I don't know. But this one thing I know, God is with me. God is with you. This one thing you can always, always know is that He is with you today. What one thing do you desire from God? What is it? Above everything else, what is it? What one thing do you lack? What is God telling you that you need to step up? Where are you lacking? What are you missing? And will you have the courage to obey? What one thing do you need to let go? It's time. Forget it. Let it go and press forward. And what one promise do you need to claim? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. For our God, who is a good God, who is with you now, He is doing a new thing. Let's pray.